Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It is a joy to be with you all. Feels like it's been a while. We were at Waterworks last week and just feel like it's just good to be back and good to be home. My daughter and I enjoy playing a game. The game is called Guess the Animal. So I think of said animal and then she asks me questions in an attempt to figure out that animal and vice versa. Well, this morning we're going to do a small version of that as you try to figure out one of my favorite animals. But instead of you asking questions, that doesn't quite work well. I'm going to give you three clues, and hopefully by that time you should understand what the animal is. So this animal has the tail of a beaver, has the bill of a duck, has feet like a duck, and it is a platypus. The duckbill platypus was first discovered by European scientists in the late 1700s, and many in the scientific community thought it was an enormous hoax. And they were very indignant that someone would try to trick the prestigious European scientists of this great elaborate hoax. So much so were they convinced of this that one scientist, when he was presented with the preserved specimen, attempted to cut off its bill because he was so convinced it was sewed on there. And they did not believe this was an actual creature. Well, once they believed it and were determined that yes, it is a good, legitimate creature, became the issue of classification. Where does this animal fit in? Okay. Is the animal a reptile? It lays eggs. The male platypus has venom in its hind spur, like a snake. But no, the platypus is warm-blooded, so it's not a reptile. Well, maybe it's a bird. Birds lay eggs. Birds are warm-blooded. But the platypus has hair. So, no, it's not a bird. So, they have created a special classification within a mammals called a monotreme, a egg-laying mammal. Okay, the platypus is from Tasmania in Australia, and there's one other little critter in Australia that is also an egg-laying mammal. Many evolutionists think and still have thought that the platypus is their long-sought-for missing link. Okay, in the evolutionary tree of life, the reptiles are oldest, then they transition to birds, and then somewhere along the line, humans came in and mammals. And so this is their thing, okay? This is proof of their ideas of evolution, okay? We have this reptile-bird type thing, mammal-type thing. However, the platypus... We have fossils of the platypus all throughout the rock, the fossil record. And the platypus has always been a platypus, and it always will be a platypus. And although the platypus is somewhat odd, and is somewhat weird, it does point to a few things. And all these seemingly disconnected, random parts of other animals fit together and work together very fluidly. So much so that if one of those parts were missing, the platypus would not survive. It needs all those parts. And the platypus really is situated and suited for life that it is living. And it is perfectly designed for that. So my firm belief is that the platypus points to God's creativity, a little bit of God's humor, and God's ingenious design. And we're going to see that the platypus was created and designed for a very specific purpose, and it does so well. But this morning, I want us to see that God has created us for a purpose as well, a divine purpose. And although different, we have a divine purpose. Sermon title this morning, Created with a Purpose, and we're going to look at two different points, purposefully designed and unity amidst differences. Revelation 4:11, this is a beautiful chapter of John, his vision of the throne room of heaven, and his inability to put it into words, okay? But this is the final verse of that wonderful chapter where John writes, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And that is amazing because we are created, the platypus was created, and Almighty God, as he sits on his throne room in all glory, looks down and sees the platypus in Australia, and I think he smiles. Because he gets pleasure from that. And as God sits on his throne and looks down on you, he gets pleasure. Because you are made. You are created for his pleasure. And the animal kingdom is so diverse. You have the highly intelligent octopus and chimpanzee, to the deep sea crustaceans and the blind moles, to enormous elephants and blue whales, to small honeybees and seahorses, to the expanse of the heavens, the power and the glory of the heavens. God gets pleasure. To every single one of you, God gets pleasure. That is fascinating. That is amazing that you give God enjoyment just by being here. That is powerful. Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist says, I will praise thee, O God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. May that bring us praise as we look at the diversity of the animals, diversity among humans. May we give praise of what he has done. The platypus, purposefully designed. The few things that the platypus has that make it purposefully designed for its environment. Its feet are webbed for swimming. The platypus spends 12 plus hours a day diving for food. It eats mostly small crustaceans like shrimp and worms and such like, and eats a lot. But its feet, webbed feet, are unique because its webbing will actually fold underneath its feet when it's on land. And that exposes claws. Why does an animal need claws? Well, that's to dig. Okay, the platypus lives in the riverbanks. Okay, that's where they have their homes. That's where they raise their little babies. So it needs those claws for digging. And as soon as they go into the water, the webbing unfurls, and now they have big flippers that are bigger than their feet, giving them ideal swimming. Its bill is ideal for catching those small things in rock crevices, but it's also the one thing that has proven that the platypus is not as old as what evolutionists think. For many years, they would have looked at the platypus and said, that's a very old creature, okay? Very odd. It was probably very early in the evolutionary tree. But its bill is equipped with electroreceptors. So when a platypus dives, its eyes are closed, it can literally sense it, the small shrimps, whatever animal it is, telling its muscles to move. That's an electrical impulse. The platypus can sense that, and that's how it hunts for food. It has all these in their bill. A fascinating feature that God gave that. Its fur is unique. It is dense and waterproof, but there's two layers. You have a layer of short fur, and then you have a layer of long hair on top. In between, you have this little gap. It essentially forms a little wetsuit. The platypus has a wetsuit built in to allow it to survive in its cold waters. Just incredible conglomeration of features, but they all work together to make the platypus what it needs to be for its environment. And it showcases God's creativity and also God's foresight. It knew where the platypus would live and what tools it would need to do so. So Revelation 4:11 again, everything's been created to bring God pleasure. The platypus and us, everything has been created for a purpose. And so we see the platypus and its purpose in life and it does so well, very well, in fact. We also have a purpose. But what is that? What is our purpose? God's created and designed purpose for each one of us cannot be disconnected from our identity and who we are. Who we are as individuals is directly connected to our purpose as individuals. And this is why you can go to so many secular bookstores and you will find shelves and shelves of books trying to answer the question, what is the purpose of humanity? What is it? Everyone wants to know because they have separated the purpose of humanity as created in God's image, we'll get to that, from God. And so you're trying to find a purpose for a people no longer connected to God. And so for my own pure entertainment and enjoyment, as I was studying, I grabbed my phone and I asked Google Gemini, what is the purpose of humanity? And this is what it gives, what it said. The purpose of mankind isn't universally fixed. It is something we define ourselves. So now you have a bunch of individuals walking around trying to find for themselves what their purpose is. Again, apart from God. And then it says, well, there's a biological reason, you know, reproduce, make more human beings, etc. There's a philosophical reason to find meaning to life. There's a evolutionary meaning to get better, okay? That's why we try to colonize Mars and such like, okay? That's the purpose of mankind, to get better and such like. Ultimately, Gemini says, humanity's purpose is to create a better future for the generations that follow. That is all we are here to do. And yes, I want my children to have a good future. But that future is not disconnected from the God who makes the future. And that's the problem that people are trying to create. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. What is our identity? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. To find our identity, we will go back to when mankind was created. Day 6 of creation. If you're with me in Genesis chapter 1, start reading at verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Mankind has been created in the very image of Almighty God. And we have to understand this first before we can understand our purpose as humans. The animal kingdom is diverse. It is absolutely incredible. It's one of the reasons why I love science. Okay, I love biology. It is wonderful. But the animals have not been made in the image of God. Only we have been. God saw it fit that the pinnacle of his creation, human beings, would be his very representatives here on earth, made in his image, made in his likeness. And we bear that upon ourselves every single day. That is why we were created. We are the very representatives of God here on this earth. And so again, we cannot understand the purpose of why we're here apart from who we are as made in the image and likeness of God Almighty. Now that we understand that, let's get to our text in Isaiah chapter 43. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 is a wonderful chapter. Many of you have parts of it memorized. Verse 1, "Fear not, for I redeem thee. I have called thee by name." Verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I am with you. The waters will not overflow." Verse 3, "For I am the Lord your God." Verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with you." And then verse 6 and 7, God Almighty is calling everyone towards himself from the north, from the south, the east, and the west. He's calling them together to himself. Verse 7, follow along. "Everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." The purpose of all humanity is for God's glory. And that is why we cannot understand that purpose apart from being created in the image and likeness of God Almighty. How do we do that, though? How do we as humans give Almighty God glory? And I believe it goes back to creation. We live in a relationship that God created back with Adam and Eve. That daily communion, that daily connection, that wholehearted fellowship that God had with Adam and Eve, that brings God glory in every aspect of our lives. It's a voluntary submission to him and a voluntary praise to him as well. We're not forced as robots. We do so because we want to. That brings God glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Everything in our life gives God glory. A while back, I had a message on compartmentalizing our lives. And that's what I'm going back to that again, too, is that so many times as humans, we want to separate Sunday morning worship, Wednesday night services, and everything, quote, godly from everything else in our life. My job, that's different. My time at home, that's different. And we separate that. We're like, well, the good and the godly, well, yes, we're going to give God glory for that. But so many times that we want to have our own time, our own money, and our own space apart from God. It doesn't work that way. And whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That brings God glory. A.W. Tozer, you're not worshiping right in any place until you're worshiping God right in every place. If your life does not bring God glory in every aspect, then he's not getting glory this morning on Sunday morning either. Every aspect of your life must be bringing God glory, for that is your very purpose. That is why you are here. Every aspect of our lives. 1 Peter 2:9, common verse, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. Why? Why has God done all that? Why has he created Gentiles to be that? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into light. He has created us to be a nation and a people who will show forth the praises of where we've been. We've been called out of darkness because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done on the cross. Now show forth his praises to all around you, that they may see God, they may glorify God as well, because that's our purpose in life, to bring him glory in all that we do. God's purpose in making human beings in his image and likeness was that they, through a life of submission and praise, bring God glory. This happens at two levels. This happens at a personal level, as an individual person, you and God. It happens also here at a church level, at a community level as well. Unity amidst differences. There is a great diversity within the mammal kingdom, and it is wonderful. They don't all look the same. They don't all have the same shape, the same size, the same color. They eat different things. They live in different places. Great diversity. But they are all still mammals. They're different, but they're still mammals. So quickly, this isn't a science class, but a few core characteristics that make them all mammals. They all nourish their young, okay, through mammary glands. Now, a platypus is a little bit unique in that, the females will secrete milk through their stomach, and it kind of puddles on their stomach, and the little platypuses, or platypus eye, both are correct, literally lap it up, okay, they with their bills. A little platypus is called a puggle, by the way. That's a fact you need to put away somewhere and keep that. But that's how they do it, okay? Is it different than a dog and a cow? Yes, but it's still a mammal. It still does that. Hair and fur. Key characteristic of every mammal. At some point in their life, they're going to have hair or they're going to have fur. Okay, that's a characteristic. And also the final one, well, there is others, but three bones of the inner ear. Hammer, anvil, and the stirrup. Three bones, all mammals have them. Okay, now the platypus doesn't have ears like an elephant. It has no external ears. Okay, but it has the inner ear, and it does the same thing that our ears do. We're all mammals. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. I think I have it up here on the screen as well. But this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. It's his list of gifts that God and the Spirit give to the church. And I want to read verses 4 through 14. Follow along as I read. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, divided every man severally as he will. For as a body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. There's also great diversity within the church. Diversity from God Almighty. as he saw fit. This is not cause for alarm. This diversity should not scare us. It should cause us to glory in the God who made it. Let's go back to the mammal kingdom for a brief minute. Mammals have different gifts. The elephant has a strong trunk to carry heavy loads, to spray itself with water, and many other things. The beaver has strong teeth to cut down trees, to eat, and to build its dams. The tiger has stripes for camouflage. The chimpanzee has thumbs for climbing. The platypus has webbed feet for swimming. And the list goes on and on with every animal. They have different gifts, different abilities. They're still mammals. They still do the mammal things, but they have different gifts. But these gifts enable them to thrive wherever they are, whatever situation they find themselves in. Church gifts are the same way. There's a variety of gifts. There's the verbal gifts, the gifts you see, the teaching, the exhortation, the wisdom, the knowledge, the prophecy. There's some we don't see. The gifts of mercy, the gifts of healing, the gifts of giving. We don't see those. But again, the focus is never on the gifts, but on the one who gives the gift. That's the focus. And also the purpose of those gifts, which we'll get to. Because the same Spirit giveth all. He giveth to all according to grace. It's the same God that works those gifts in us and works those gifts for us all. It's the same God who does that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. This is another one of the list of gifts from Paul. We're not going to read the list itself. It's very similar to what we just read in 1 Corinthians. But I want to look at the purpose of the gifts. Why? Okay, the mammals, they have their gifts so they can do the things that they need to do. Why are we given gifts? Why are we given different gifts? So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. This is what Paul says. He says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ." Jump down to verse 16. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." The purpose of these gifts is not so I look good. It's not so you look good. It's for the glorifying of the church. It's to build the church up. That way together, we can bring honor and glory to God, which is, again, our purpose of mankind. Our gifts are for the betterment of the church. But as verse 16 says, the whole body, it fitly joins together. You look at the platypus and it looks unfitly put together, right? Various parts, but yet it's not. All those parts work together perfectly to make an incredible creature, to do what it's designed to do. And it does so very, very well. The body of Christ is the same way. Different parts, different experiences, but we all come together. The body fits together and it works. Random parts all come together to form. It's interesting to note what comes after the passages on gifts. Okay, so we looked at Ephesians 4, that was one right after the passage on gifts. Romans 12, there's also a list of gifts. Okay, I'm just going to summarize it right after that list. Okay, so Paul lists the gifts that the Spirit gives, and he says this. He said, "Let your love be genuine. Show honor to one another. Show hospitality to one another." And then verse 16, "Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Paul's like, the point's not the gifts here, guys. The point is that we together form the body of Christ. First Corinthians 12, which we read, after that list of gifts, Paul says, "No divisions among you. Don't let there be divisions among you." Okay, show care for one another, he says. Paul describes the church as a body of Christ. And this points to the fact that the church as a body is not something that we as a church create, but we preserve. God already created the body. Your part, your role in that body is either going to preserve that body or going to tear it down. The body's been created by Jesus Christ. It's set forth as his church, as his body on here on earth. What you do as an individual member of that body is either going to preserve that body, keep that body up, We're just going to tear it down. And then right after 1 Corinthians 12 comes 1 Corinthians 13. Let everything be done in love. Okay? You can do all the right things. If you do it not in love, it is nothing for you. Core values and defining characteristics. I talked to those things that make a mammal a mammal. Okay? Mammals are different. They are unique. They are diverse. But there's something that make a mammal a mammal. So I was thinking, what are those things that make us a church? What are our core defining characteristics that classify us as a church? And so what I've put together is a patchwork of scripture. Okay, I'm going to read it. I just want you to follow along. And hopefully it blesses you as much as it has blessed me. The core defining characteristics of the church. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now he was buried, he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The core defining characteristics that make us a church is none other than the man, Jesus Christ. For he is the head of the body. He is the foundation we have to build on. And without his shed blood, we wouldn't be here. And if we can't all agree on that, and we do, and I praise God for that, that we can have that unity here based on who he is, not on what we have done, not on our gifts even. That's not what pulls us together. It's on Jesus Christ. His work in the past on Calvary, but also here in the present, living in us, making us who we are supposed to be as we look forward to his future work when he comes again to call us unto himself. But it's that present work right here, right now, that calls us as individual parts of individual gifts, abilities, circumstances, life experiences, that bring us together. And Paul calls the church at Philippi. He says this. He said, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The present work of Jesus Christ right now calls us to do just that. Lay aside what I want, lay aside what I think, and esteem you guys better than myself. That's the work of the church. Based on what? Based on Jesus Christ. Because he's the head of the church, he's the foundation of the church, and unless we build by him, we're going to go in vain. So now we have these individual parts coming together, seeking peace, seeking unity, seeking the betterment of each other over themselves. And it's allowing our uniquenesses, it's allowing our gifts, not to build us up, but to build you up. That's the point of the church. The platypus works together perfectly. Okay, no part's better than the other. It forms the platypus and what it does. And the church is no different. No one's better than anyone else. But we all bring that together, working together as a body, founded on Jesus Christ, and working to him. The platypus is a perfectly weird and very unique creature, but it is designed with a clear purpose for its environment and life, and there's no other critter on this earth that can do what the platypus does. It has a clear purpose, and it does so very, very well. We too have been created and designed for a divine purpose, and in our uniquenesses, in our differences, we are called to bring God glory in all that we do and in all of our life. To bring him glory. That is your purpose in life. and may you do so wholeheartedly. And we accomplish that purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ and pointing all glory to him. The church is composed of many individual parts coming together to form a body, of which Christ is the head and the main reason, the only reason that we even exist. And it's that present work of Jesus Christ and the grace in our lives right now that calls us to work together to preserve unity, to preserve like-mindedness. All for what? The edifying of the body and the glory of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. So may we all live out our God-given purpose to bring him glory in all that we do. Let's all stand for prayer. And after prayer, bang up a chorus of song. And then after that song, we can be dismissed. Father God, we stand before you, created in your image and likeness for a very particular role and purpose in life. And Father, we look at the mammal kingdom and we glorify you. It is diverse, it is unique, it is incredible. It showcases your humor, your design capabilities, your creativity. And we marvel at what you have done. And Father, we look at the church, we marvel as well. Different people with different gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God who giveth all in all. So Father, may we all use the grace given to us today to lay aside our goals and our agendas, to serve each other in the church, to use our gifts not for our own benefit, but for the church's benefit, that the church may grow, that the church may be built up, that you get all the glory. So, Father, as we go our separate ways in whatever capacity you've called us to this week, in every aspect of our life, may we bring you glory and honor, for that is our divine purpose. Amen.